Before I continue, I want to ask you to read, please, Judges chapter 6 for me.
If you will open your Bible to Judges chapter 6. It's the beginning of the story of Gideon. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded their country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza, and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count the men and their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian was so impoverished. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I snatched you from the power of Egypt and from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them from before you and gave you their land. I said to you, 'I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live.' But you have not listened to me." The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' And now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it really is you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." Gideon went in and prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. And with the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Ah, sovereign Lord, I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face. But the Lord said to him, peace, do not be afraid. You're not going to die. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, the Lord is peace. To this day, it stands in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. That same night, the Lord said to him, take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on top of this height. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the men of the town, he did it at night rather than in the daytime. In the morning, when the men of the town got up, there was Baal's altar demolished, with the Asherah pole beside it cut down, and the second bull sacrificed on the newly built altar. And they asked each other, who did this? And when they carefully investigated, they were told, Gideon, son of Joash, did it. The men of the town demanded, Joash, bring out your son. He must die because he has broken down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. But Joash replied to the hostile crowd around him, are you going to plead Baal's cause? Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning. But if Baal really is a god, he can defend himself when someone breaks down his altar. So that day they called Gideon Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal contend with him because he broke down Baal's altar. Now, all the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples joined forces and crossed over the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Abiezrites to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, calling them to arms, and also into Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, so that they too went up to meet them. Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand as you have said. And that is what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. This time make the fleece dry and the ground covered with dew. And that night God did so. Only the fleece was dry. All the ground was covered with dew.
Thank you, Pastor. Before I preach my sermon, I just want to tell a little bit about me, my other children. I have a son that is studying to be a radiologist, and another is a civil engineer. And the oldest one is working for several years. So I'm glad that I finished with the school of my children, because it's very expensive. I'm glad that they are doing well. And today we're gonna talk about John chapter 4. Verses 19 through 24. And has been a year since I have preached in English. Last time that I preached in English was last year in this church. So be patient with my English, please, if I am not enough eloquent or fluent in English. But you you can realize that it's not the same to preach in Spanish that preaching in English. And when I preach in Spanish, I hardly have notes with me, but today I have 4 pages with me, and I hope I will not get lost when I preach. So be patient with me, please. Let's read John chapter 4, 19 through 24. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshiped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you don't know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from Jews. Yet a time is coming and has not come when the worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is a spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Father, bless this sermon. Before you glory, you know, in the name of Jesus, amen. Jesus had an encounter with this woman in Samaria. He came from Jerusalem to meet her. He left his ministry in Jerusalem to go to start his ministry in Galilee. But for Jesus, this appointment with this woman was very important, even though this woman didn't know anything about it. But Jesus really knew what he needs to do. So the subject of the talking in between Jesus and this woman will be worship. They were talking about worship. This woman, she thought she knew something about worship. But when she started talking to Jesus, she realized that she was totally wrong. Praise God for this woman, because a lot of people are wrong and they never understand it. They never realize it, and they never humble their heart before God. They continue in their wrong religious and their wrong way of life. But this woman made the right decision. Most of us know the story. We know what was going on with the relationship that was formed between Jews and Samaritans. They hate each other. They have a lot of cultural stuff. And Jesus, even though all the things, he knew that woman, and he loved that woman. This woman didn't know that. Her background was terrible, but she didn't know that Jesus already knew her and loved her. And Jesus wanted for her to understand what is really worship. And this woman was at the point to experience the best experience of her life. And she got to know Jesus in this time, but she was arguing with Jesus about worshiping. I want to focus my sermon in these verses that I already read, especially in 23 and 24, because this is a wonderful scripture. And it seems like Twyla and the whole group and Pastor Jimmy got together and planned this service. Because I'm going to talk about how we need to fight our battles. This is a powerful scripture. But the problem is that sometimes we look the scripture, we look the Bible, yes, superficially. We don't go deep in the Bible. We don't research and study and find out and pray and ask the Lord to really teach us what the Bible means, not just says, but what it means. Mm-hmm. When we focus in the scripture, we really are in an awe before God, because he's wonderful. And I have preached this sermon like 5 times, and every time that I preach it, it's different. Especially now that I'm preaching in English, it would be more different. So that woman brought out the topic, and she was talking about the place when it was supposed to be the right worship. Because she knew, she was not an ignorant. She was a very well-educated woman. I think we have been wrong about the Samaritan woman. But she was educated in the wrong things. She knew more than me and you. I tell you, he knew that Jacob, he knew that Abraham, he knew that Joshua and all the people of Israel, they, all of them experienced times in this very area where she lives. She knew that Abraham lived on Shechem. You knew that? You know where Shechem is set up? It's just in the middle of Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. You know what Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim means in the Bible? This woman knew that. So she was arguing with Jesus with a good base, a good knowledge, more than a lot of pastors that I know. And that discussion was between, believe it or not, Islam and what the Jewish believe. Is an old Bible. It started long time ago in the same month. You remember the sons of Abraham? Do you remember the mothers of the sons of Abraham? Agar and his wife. This is an old Bible, the same places. And this woman knew all about it. So she was discussing with Jesus what was the right religion to follow and what was the right way to worship God and where was the right month or place they should worship. But the thing was, the people from Palestine or where the Islamic people come from in our days, they mess up all the story and they make all the Bible teachings the other way around. They call Mount Ebal Mount Gerizim and they call Mount Gerizim Mount Ebal. Because in Mount Ebal they have the cursings, in Gerizim they have the blessings. The cursed people were the Palestinians, and the blessed people were the Jewish. So they messed it up all around. And they say that Abraham offered his son Isaac and Mount Ebal. And Abraham didn't sacrifice or made this or was willing to do the sacrifice neither on Mount Ebal and neither Gerizim. It was in Mount Moriah. But you remember that Galatians talks about this mountain? That's why. So this is all the thing that is going on between Jesus and this woman. She knew Abraham used to live in these areas. You know what it is between Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. Mount Ebal is in the north, and Gerizim is in the south. You know what is in the middle? A valley. You know what is going on in the valley? A war. So Mount Ebal means a naked mount. It had hold nothing, no trees, no flowers, nothing. Gerizim was the same, but under the British Empire, the British planted a lot of trees. So now you can see the difference. And Mount Ebal still remain like a naked mount. That's a reminder of the persons. So when they were talking, they were pointing to both mounts. Samaritan woman just was pointing to Gerizim and Ebal when she was talking with Jesus. She knew a lot of about history and a lot of this situation with mountains and religion. And let me tell you, Samaritan people, we are wrong about some things in the Bible. Samaritan people, they had a better kind of life than the Jewish. They were more obeyed to the law of God, but they only believe in the first books of the Bible. They just don't believe in the historical books, Psalms, or other books of the Old Testament. They just believe the law. But they try to live under the law better than the Jewish. The situation was that in sometimes in history, pagan kings send other people to live in Samaria, and this corrupted the north rain. And some kings, most of the kings, I think in the north part of what is Israel, they only have one king that was good. The other ones, they were really bad. And all of the cultures, all of the religions, pagan religions, contaminate this area with their religion and thinkings. But this woman, she was talking seriously with Jesus about worshiping. Because in Mount Ebal, Samaritan people, they built a temple. And they believed that Moses told them to build this temple. And they believed this was God's temple. They believed it. So when they are talking about where we need to worship, in this mountain or in Jerusalem, it really happened that there were two temples, two altars. And Mount Ebal was higher than Mount Gerizim. Mount Ebal has more than 900 meters above ocean level, and Gerizim has 881 meters. So you could see easily Mount Ebal because it was higher. So they were thinking that this was the right place to worship. In the other hand, Judaism, they have different ways to worship. All of them were really ordered and given by God. For example, we have in the book of Leviticus seven different offerings that they should practice. Mainly the Holocaust, that was the main offering because it was a daily offering. They should put this offering in 6 p.m. and it needs to burn to 6 a.m. When this was gone, they need to put another one from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. because your days start in the night, in the evening, not in the day. So they should do that all the time, forever. But they broke this law. They had also the oblations, peace offerings, offering for sin. This is very important. In Numbers chapter 19, there is a special chapter that talks about the offering for sin. And they have a special, in particular, cow for it. It was a red cow. And for 2,000 years, Samaritan people have been sacrificing these kind of cows. But the Jewish, they had not been doing that. And the thing is, I have heard that now Jews have a red and purple cow ready to be offered to God in the new temple. What does it tell you? For 2,000 years, they didn't have. Now they have. We are in the end of times. Believe it or not, it was the same when Jesus came. They didn't believe. They didn't believe the prophecies were really accomplished behind their eyes. And they were blind. They have the expiatory offering or atonement, voluntary offerings, and vows. Also, they had the tabernacle in the desert. Later, they had the temple. And they have seven special objects of worship in it. The bronze altar, the bronze fountain, the golden candlestick, the table of proposition, the incense altar, the golden altar, and the Ark of the Covenant. Also, they have seven special holidays or special celebrations, spiritual celebration, in the year that was an spiritual year of 7 months. The Passover, the Week of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of the Weeks, Pentecost, Feast of Expiation, Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Tabernacles. All of this was observed weekly, daily, weekly, monthly, and annually. So they knew a lot about worshiping. The thing was, they were not doing out of the heart. So a lot of people know a lot about the Bible, but they don't love God. It's better to do little things with love than have a lot of knowledge.
That's right.
And be wrong.
That's right.
This woman, even though she was wrong, she had the right attitude in her heart. And this is more important from God than any other thing. So this discussion was all about the right way to worship, the right place to worship, if the temple in Samaria was the right temple, or the temple in Jerusalem was the right temple. And Jesus started teaching this woman some truth. First of all, in the first place, Jesus taught her that it's not the place or the methods we use. It is not the rituals, but the condition of the heart.
That's
what
right.
matters with God. The attitude. The question was if she had the right relationship with God. Not if she was in the right place. Maybe this is a right place, but maybe your heart is not right before God. But it's more important, the place or your attitude of your heart. So this is a great truth. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, this passage describes the internal condition of a true worshiper. It says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." What it means is to be poor in spirit is to surrender your spirit, your attitude, your goals, your desire, your life to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if you do that, you are real and true worshiper. If you don't do that, you are not. A true follower of Jesus and a true child of God will do that. Because God made us out of Himself. God made us like Himself. And God made us to love Him and Him alone. God made us to live for Him. And God made us to worship Him and Him alone.
Yes.
True love is an expression of a true worshiper. Jesus also taught her that true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit. In my Bible, in Spanish, when it says that God is a spirit, spirit is in capital letter. And man, spirit, is in minor or small letters. So there is a difference. When we are talking about worshiping God in spirit, what it means? It means that your spirit needs to be in one accord with His spirit.
Yes, yes.
That your spirit needs to be connected with His spirit. And your spirit needs to be one with His spirit. We can go John chapter 17 and we can read what Jesus prayed about this topic. Jesus said, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I have with you before the world began. And I have revealed you to those who you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you give me, for they are yours. All is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. Will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by your power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as you are one, and as we are one. While I was with them, I protect them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy with them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world, any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may then also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. In them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. We can see Jesus praying, and his prayer was that his disciples will be one with him and one with the Lord. And even he prayed for us that we will be one. How can it happen? How can you and I be one with God? There is just one way, through his Holy Spirit.
That's right. Amen.
And this just one truth. When you accept Jesus Christ in your heart as your Savior, as the Lord and the God of your life, when you surrender all to him and you decide to live for him and you let him to take control of your life, it's the only way. There is no other way. That's why Jesus said we need to worship God in spirit, because if we are not in unity with him, we are not his children, we are not saved, and we are not worshipers. But if his spirit is in us through Jesus Christ, we are real and true worshipers.
Yes.
And Jesus explained this to this woman, and this woman got saved. So for this to be true, in order that we can be real worshipers, we need to have the Holy Spirit. We need to surrender our all to Jesus. Is the only way. In John chapter 14 in verse 6, Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the light. I am the only way. No man came to the Father but through me.
Yes. Yes.
If you're to worship God as a true worshiper, you must do it in the spirit and in truth. And there is only one way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the one that can give you the Holy Spirit. Do you know Jesus? Do you have Jesus into your heart?
Yes.
Have you been saved? Are you 100% sure?
Thank you, Jesus.
Are you going to go to heaven?
Hallelujah.
Are you a child of God? Are you one with God? If this is true in your life, you're a real worshiper. You need to worship the Father with knowledge. You got the knowledge in your spirit. You have a lot of wrong knowledge, like this woman. But some people think when you read the Bible or when you come to the church, that they think you left your brain out of the church. The world think they are more intelligent than us because we come to the church. And they say, don't go to the church. Don't give your tithes. Don't support the pastor. Don't do that. This is wrong, they say. They are very smart because they go to the bar and they drink a lot of beers. They are very smart. You need to worship the Father with knowledge, the knowledge of the truth into your heart. The only way is to have Jesus in your heart. Real worship, my brothers, bring the presence of God to your life. Real worship brings the fear of God in your life. Real worship brings real wisdom in your heart. Real worship brings the fear and the terror of God's enemies upon them. You heard the story about Gideon. We didn't preach, but in chapter 7, Gideon was afraid to go and fight the battle. And he came to the presence of God. He told God that he was afraid. And God told him, go to the camp of the enemies and just listen what they are talking about. He said they had a dream and they are talking about a dream. And he went to the enemy's camp and he was hiding somewhere and listening with his servant. And some people from the enemies were talking about, they saw a big kind of bread that was rolling and hitting the camp of the God's enemies and how the tents and everything was ruined. And God says, when you listen to that, you will be brave and you will be ready to go and fight the battle. And when Gideon heard all of this, he went out and he called his people to get ready for the war, for the battle. And they went and they destroyed the enemies. Because when real worship happens, real worship brings the fear and the terror of God upon the enemies of God that, of course, are our enemies. Not only Gideon experienced that, but if we go to Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter 5, we will learn how Joshua also get prepared for the battle. Joshua, chapter 5, verse 1 through 5, says, then when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until we had crossed over, the hearts melted and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. And at that time the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites and Gibeah a lot. Now this is why he did so. All those who came out of Egypt, all the men of the military age, died in the desert on the way After leaving Egypt, all the people that came out have been circumcised, but all of the people born in the desert during the journey from Egypt had not. So we have a story how Joshua started getting prepared for the battle. Every time I see, they came in the presence of God, and then they went out to fight the battle. In the same chapter, in verse 13 of Joshua, it says, "Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went upon him and asked, 'Are you for us or for our enemies?' 'Neither,' he replied, 'but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come.' Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, 'What message does my Lord have for his servant?' Again, he came in the presence of the Lord to worship. And then he went out to fight the battle. To worship. Get in the presence of God to worship, but get out of God's presence as a warrior. You can see this several times. It's not how you enter in the presence of God that counts the most. It's the way you get out. It's the way you leave the presence of God. Oh, it's the way how you go out with the presence of God. Ezekiel chapter 46. Verse 9. There are some verses in the Bible that are very interesting. Here in Ezekiel 46, verse 9, it says, "When the people of the land come before the Lord at the appointed feast, whoever enters by the north gate to worship is to go out the south gate." Sometimes I wonder why is this passage in the Bible? But what it means is when you enter in the presence of God to worship Him, you have never will go out the same. You will experience something. Your life will be changed.
Yes.
Our worship learns how to get in the presence of God and how to get out like a warrior. A warrior learns how to get out with the presence of God to fight the battles. Are we in a battle? Is that true that we are in a battle?
Yes.
Joshua learned that worship was a military term. He understood that he needed to come in the presence of God to get the strategies for the battle. It was the same that King David did. Every time that King David needed to fight their enemies, he came in the presence of God, and he just was listening, learning, and waiting. And he obeyed. Joshua did the same. And a lot of people, like the king Jehoshaphat, you remember the story. Joshua learned that worship was a military term. And he was in a war, he was in a battle. The same with Gideon there in Judges 6 and 7. And Judges 6, 12, we can see, and we will see Judges 7, 15. Judges 6:12 says, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior.
Yes.
What kind of Gideon was that? Why he didn't call him in another term? He said, mighty warrior. Listen, God doesn't look you like you are now. He is looking at you, let's see, or say from now to 10 years in the future. Maybe you are not a warrior now, but God knows that you will be.
Yes.
It's a great story here. And Judges 7, 15. When Gideon heard the dream and his interpretation, he worshiped God. He turned to the camp of Israel and called out, get up, the Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands. He came to worship. And he goes out to fight the battle. It's what a real warrior, a real worshiper will do. A real worshiper becomes a real warrior. He goes in the presence of God to be ready to go out with God's presence to fight the spiritual battle. David, Joshua, Gideon, Jehoshaphat, and a lot of people of Israel did the same. Abraham, when they were in a war, they came from the war into the presence of God at least three times. The first time they came, if they were losing the battle, they will come to know what the problem is. Like in the book of Joshua chapter 7, you remember when they went to conquer Jericho, but it was a real worshiping time. They were singing and blowing the trumpet all around, you know, and they conquered Jericho. But the next nation, Ai, they lose the battle. What they did? They came to the presence of God and asking what the problem was. And God said, there is sin in the camp. You have disobeyed. And you will not continue, or you can't go on if you don't surrender, if you don't confess, and if you don't humble, and if you don't restore your life. So Joshua did the right thing. He started searching and making all the preparations to solve the problem. But they will come, secondly, in the middle of the war, to the presence of God to refresh and get more strength to keep it on, like Moses in Exodus 17, 8 through 16. They were fighting a battle, and you remember Moses was with the arms all high up.
That's right.
But he got tired. And what he needs? Help. Where is our help? in the middle of the battle. And the third time that they will come to the presence of God in the war is when they won the war. They come to the presence of God to celebrate. Don't forget to come to the presence of God to celebrate. Mm-hmm. When Amen. God give you a victory.
That's right.
Yes.
Praise Him.
Is the worst mistake you can do. Remember David. It wasn't a shame of what people say. He came from the victory and he did a big parade. And he was in front of all the people, dancing and shouting and singing. We need to celebrate our victories in the presence of God. And in Isaiah chapter 6, there is another passage that is very important. When we come to the presence of the Lord in the middle of the world, because we are losing the world, we need to do what Isaiah did. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cry, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Can you see what Isaiah experienced? He took a look up, but he saw the Almighty God.
Yes.
He took a look around, but he saw sin around him. He took a look inside him, but he saw he was a sinner also, and he needed help. He needed forgiveness. He needed salvation. He needed God. So, real worshiper a worshiper in spirit and truth will get in the presence of God like a worshiper, like Solomon. I think this is kind of long message, but I was sharing with Pastor Jimmy that I'm just preaching maybe the fourth part of the sermon. But I want you to go with me. I know that we have been reading a lot of the scriptures, but to be a real worshiper, you need to be very well based in the Bible, in the scriptures.
That's right.
Because we have a lot of churches and preachers today that are preaching, I don't know what, out of what Bible they are preaching.
That's right.
Well, the Pope says he will write a new Bible. Have you heard that? I will stand and I will stay with my Bible.
Amen.
And I love the Bible.
Yes, Lord.
And when I preach, I want you to be sure that we are talking about the Bible.
Yes, the Word of God.
First of Kings, chapter 3, please. First of Kings, chapter 3, verse 3. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the statutes of his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burned incense on the high places. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night and in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." The Lord promised Solomon to give him whatever he asked for. But have you read how much offerings he sacrifices for the Lord? The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place. And Solomon offered how much? How much are you giving to the Lord? You think you are giving too much? Thousand.
Oh.
8,000. It's a lot, huh? Or not?
Yes.
It's a lot? You think it's a lot?
Mm-hmm.
You think it's a lot?
Hmm? I do.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, let's go to Second Chronicles, chapter 7. And you will see how and why the Lord blessed Solomon in that way. Second Chronicles 7, verse 1 through 6. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. When all of the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, "He is good, His love endures forever." All right. What is going on here? The dedication of the temple. How much money Solomon spent on the building of the temple? It's no wonder that God descended and was so pleased with Solomon. It was not only offering this big amount of chips and cows, but he just built the temple and he prayed for the blessing of God upon the whole nation. But listen what it says in verse 4. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 head of cattle and 120,000 sheep and goats. You think 1,000 is a lot?
Wow.
You don't know nothing about worshiping.
That's right.
That a real worshiper like Solomon will come and really worship. A real warrior like David will come and fight the battle. A real worship like Ezra, Nehemiah, Moses, and Paul will be keepers of the word of God, will be protectors and guardians of the word of God. A real worshiper like Abraham will be blessers of the world, because in his son all the nations will be blessed, said the Lord.
Yes.
Are you being a blessing for the nations? Jesus says, my house of prayer will be called for all the nations. Are you praying for the nations? You know that the less we do in the house of the Lord is prayer. And one of the main names that Jesus gave to the church was house of prayer.
That's right.
A real worshiper is a conqueror like David, like Joshua. Joshua conquered 31 kings and nations. They have something to celebrate, huh? They conquer and they come to the presence of God to celebrate. And I will finish with Isaiah chapter 27, verse 13. Probably Jesus quoted this passage to the Samaritan woman. Isaiah 27, verse 13. And in that day, a great trumpet will sound. We know what is the Lord talking about. We are waiting for this trumpet. Those who were perished in Assyria and those who were exiled in Egypt will come and worship the Lord in the holy mountain of Jerusalem. What is the right place to worship? Jerusalem. The house of peace. But it's because the King of Peace will live in it. A real worshiper. Worship only the King.
Yes.
Blessed be your name, Lord. You are worthy, the only one worthy of our worship. Lord, if somebody in this room has not yet been saved and has no Jesus in their heart, I ask for your power and the voice of the Holy Spirit to call them to repentance and salvation.
Yes.
And in this day, they will start worshiping you in spirit and truth.